tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 25th of August, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I thought we would take a look at some free speech issues. And the first article I have here comes from GB News, and the headline is, "Majority of Britons say free speech has deteriorated under Labour. Bombshell new poll finds." The majority of Britons believe their confidence in the government's ability to protect free speech has deteriorated under Labour, a new poll has found. Some 51% said their confidence in the government to protect their right to express views, even when those views disagree with the government, had worsened over the past 2 years, according to Polling Commission for Civil Rights Organisation Liberty. Now, Liberty have always been seen as a left-wing organisation. It was Shami Chakrabarti, I think, was part of Liberty. I think they may have originally campaigned for the paedophile information exchange. I know there's certainly a link to them at some point in the past. So surprising that they are now doing these polls, which are showing that free speech is at risk in Britain. Just 10% of Britons believed their free speech rights had improved. The polling carried out by Delta Poll for Liberty revealed. So 51% think that it's deteriorated. It's actually got worse, and we haven't had any new laws put in place. So what this must be is the way that protesting has been clamped down on, and people that were protesting things such as the horrific murder of three little girls at the dance class in Stockport last year, the people that went out to protest about that were effectively come down on extremely hardly by the government. They were all classed as far-right thugs. And prisoners were literally moved out of prisons so that they could put people in there for complaining about the murder of these young girls. So I think that's probably one of the reasons why people think free speech has deteriorated. Plus, we also have this idea that the Labour Party were, not sure if they got this bill passed or if they were just talking about it, where they said that people weren't going to be able to hold more than one protest, where it could be shown that multiple protests could disrupt the normal running of society, they were going to be banned from having another protest, which of course goes against the whole reason for protesting in the first place. You protest because the government does something that you don't want them to do, so you want to put pressure on the government. The idea is that you would protest and the government would say, oh, we got this wrong. The people don't want this, so we'll change our policy. Now, it's very rare that the government actually do that. So people end up having to go out and protest again. And they say, well, we will have to keep protesting until you change this policy, do something about this policy. And that has been very successful in places, putting a stop to drag queen story hour, putting a stop to migrants being housed in hotels or certain areas. And it's only the fact that people have held repeated protests, they've given up their whole summer, every weekend to go on the protest, that they managed to get the policy changed. So this government idea that, if it causes disruption to the community, will put a stop to them. Well, the whole point of the protest is to cause some disruption, legally, to cause some disruption, to have people see the signs and draw attention to something. And of course, they brought this in saying it was to prevent people protesting for Palestine every week. But it could quite easily be used against people that protesting against migrants being housed in a hotel in their community. So that's another way that legally that free speech is being clamped down upon. And that again, could be a reason why it's increased. Liberty laid blame on the Home Office, citing travel bans for activists hoping to speak in the UK, the mass arrests of Palestine Action protesters, and tougher approaches to protest laws. And these are things that have been going on for a long time, effectively, travel bans, particularly on nationalists. I mean, nationalists have been banned from coming to Britain for years now. That's been going on since I can remember from the David Cameron government. I can remember people being banned from entering Britain. Even just civic nationalists of the Tommy Robinson type have been banned from coming to Britain. Of course, there was quite a well-known issue this summer with Tommy's Unite the Kingdom protest, and certain people were banned from attending that. But we've also had left-wing people banned from attending. We've had George Galloway stopped at airports, and George Galloway has apparently claimed asylum in Russia because he was just being stopped too many times by the police and wanting to go through his devices. And that was a member of parliament that they were doing that to. So we've had quite some notable instances of intrusion into people's private lives because of things that they have said. And all of this is surrounding this free speech issue. Akiko Hart, Liberty's director, said Sir Keir Starmer had failed to show leadership and consistency on free speech, which has led to claims of two-tier policing. And it's not just claims, is it? It's very obvious that there is two-tier policing. If you compare the police's response to the Black Lives Matter protests, where the police were all getting down on their knees for black criminals, and you compare that to the policing of protests such as the Protect the Statues protest that went on, where the white people were beaten up and the police turned up with riot shields. Compare it to the recent protests about Henry Novak, which ended in violence and police with riot shields attacking people. And you compare that to a Black Lives Matter protest where the police don't wear any of their riot gear at all because they don't want to start trouble, basically. And that's two-tier policing, because it's clear that they are going after the right-wing people expecting trouble, whereas they go to the Black Lives Matter not expecting trouble, when Black Lives Matter were responsible for burning down half of America a couple of years ago. Akiko Hart told The Telegraph the new Prime Minister, Andy Burnham, must see these findings as a warning sign. Free speech is a fundamental right that benefits us all, and a healthy democracy depends on people feeling confident that they can express themselves freely and disagree with each other. It is absolutely essential to democracy that you have free speech. Otherwise, the best ideas aren't going to be able to raise themselves to the top. Otherwise, you're going to have people voted in illegitimately because the people that, or the policies that the people really want to vote for, people aren't allowed to talk about those policies because they would be accused of hate speech. And just before the Conservatives came out, they redefined the word extremist to mean anybody that seeks to limit the rights of anybody else. And of course, if you're campaigning against abortion, for instance, and you don't agree with abortion being allowed right up to moment of birth, which is effectively murder, they could say, well, you're an extremist because you're trying to limit a woman's right to kill her child. And this was the Conservative Party that did this. So just that in itself causes a restriction on free speech, because it means people are limited in what they can say. I mean, hate speech laws in themselves limit what people can say, because people get quite irate at some of these horrendous crimes that have gone on, and they're tempted to speak negatively of the people that have carried them out, and then they can be accused of saying something insulting about the rapist because the rapist happened to be black, and you also included the word black when you were condemning the racist, the rapist, which one is considered the worst in our society today? Well, racists are considered far worse than rapists, aren't they? Rapists may not even be sent to prison at all, but people that condemn the mass rape of white schoolgirls by grooming gangs, they get sent to jail for using out-of-date English, I guess you could call it, using words that were quite acceptable 20 years ago but are no longer acceptable today. Like, for instance, abbreviating the word Pakistani when talking about the rape gangs. That was one of the things that I got into trouble for, that I was sent to prison for. Back in the days when the prosecution was able to pretend that these things didn't actually happen and that they never happened. And of course, now we know that they did happen. We've had Rupert Lowe's rape gang inquiry. The British government itself has now been forced to carry out a national inquiry into these things, which during my trial, they tried to pretend never happened, that I just made up these horrific things that were actually done to these girls. So if we want to talk about these issues, and in a democracy, you have to be able to talk about things, you have to have free speech. It's absolutely essential for a democracy, as the leader of Liberty says here. And I'm pleased that a left-wing person is saying this as well. We are fortunate to live in a nation shaped by many identities and perspectives, which means differences of opinion and views that could upset or offend others are inevitable. And I was always taught at school that you should tolerate people that had different opinions to you. Everybody has different opinions. We have lots of different types of people here, all have different opinions, and you have to be tolerant of other people's opinions. Of course, that's not what we're taught today. We're taught that we should be completely intolerant of anyone that has a different opinion to the establishment. Anyone who is against immigration, for instance, anyone who's against feminism, anyone against abortion, against LGBTQ being taught to children. All of those things, if you speak out against those things, you run the risk of being cancelled. And the general people are being told that that's beneath the pale, and that should not be allowed for people to talk about these things. They should be deplatformed. They should never be allowed to talk at universities. And there has to be trigger warnings before things that people say. All of that is limiting. It's preventing democracy from actually functioning in the way that it should function. This makes it all the more important for the new Prime Minister to adopt a non-partisan approach to free speech and move away from greater restrictions. Well, I would say they need to lift the restrictions that we have, not just move away from doing any more, but they need to roll back the ones that we already have. They need to roll back the Public Order Act, for instance, where you're not allowed to say anything abusive, insulting or threatening. Whereas just general banter with your workmates is often full of abuse, insults and threats. And yet it's meant, it's jokingly said. And a lot of these cases about hate speech where people are prosecuted, it's just for telling jokes, basically. It's just for being humorous. A survey of more than 2,000 adults found 42% of Britons said their ability to express controversial political opinions without facing legal consequences had worsened. I mean, that should be zero. There should be zero people that fear expressing a controversial political opinion. If you had a democracy, people wouldn't be frightened to speak their opinions. What we have is a tyranny. 42% of people are too frightened to voice their opinion because they fear that there would be legal consequences for doing so. That's not... they're frightened to talk about how much they hate other races or how they want to incite violence against other races. That's people too frightened to just speak their opinion. Just 9% said it had improved, and another 39% said it had stayed the same. And nearly 4 in 10, that's 39%, said Britain's ability to speak freely on important issues had been worsened, and their understanding of what is and what is not allowed to be said under UK law had also got worse. So people don't even know the limits on what they can say. It is difficult to know exactly the way that you can talk about these issues. Liberty said travel bans issued to 11 speakers at Unite the Kingdom rallies in May, as well as a ban on American left-wing political commentators Henk Wieger and his nephew Hassan Piker, who were banned from attending SXSW London and addressed the Oxford Union in June. So it's not just right-wing people that are being banned, left-wing people as well for criticism of Israel. The new polling follows revelations a dossier on Britain's free speech crisis was shared with the White House before Sir Keir Starmer's visit last year. The five-point briefing prepared by the Free Speech Union was sent to the office of the Vice President and has now been publicly revealed, by the organisation. The FSU said it shared the dossier, not just so our members and supporters can see exactly what we told the vice president, but also because all of the attacks on free speech that we alerted him to are still very much alive. Now, this is quite an interesting dossier. It goes into quite some detail about these issues, free speech issues, that none of it is actually talking about the Public Order Act or the Malicious Communications Act or anything like that. It's all talking about other acts of Parliament and other policies of the government that are also clamping down on free speech. So let's look in detail at this. The organisation added, that's the FSU, if he raised any of this with Sir Keir, the Prime Minister clearly didn't listen, and that's obviously J.D. Vance, who this information was given to. Should Andy Burnham visit the White House, we intend to send a follow-up briefing. The three-page document begins with a warning that since Labour came to power in July 2024, the right to free speech in the UK has been significantly eroded. And I would say, well, it's not just since 2024, is it? People have been banned from coming into Britain. Brittany Pettibone was banned from coming into Britain, I think, in 2017 when she wanted to come into Britain to interview Tommy Robinson, of all people. Civnats were being banned years ago, as well as ethno-nationalists. The briefing then establishes five proposals tabled to number 10 to help restore this essential right. The first point called on Labour to pause further implementation of the controversial Online Safety Act, which was signed into law by the previous Conservative government. And don't forget, this Online Safety Act was the baby of Nadine Dorris. And Nadine Dorris is now with Reform. Reform have actually taken on the person who authored this horrible act, the Online Safety Act. Describing the legislation as more draconian than the European Union's Digital Services Act, the FSU warned J.D. Vance that American companies would be forced to not just remove content flagged by the regulator as unlawful, but to proactively police online content. And not just stuff that they saw as unlawful either. I mean, the worst thing about the Digital Services Act is this legal but harmful wording. So the Home Office, the Home Secretary, rather, can just decide that she doesn't want people to know about something, and she can say to the social media companies, you have to ban any mention of this. It might be illegal, but it's harmful. We've decided it's harmful for the general public to know about this, so you're not allowed to have it on your platform. That's how serious this is. I mean, it says here, flagged by the regulator is unlawful, but no, it could just be flagged by the regulator. Flagged by the Home Secretary. In August last year, Elon Musk's social media platform X issued a stark warning that the Online Safety Act poses a serious risk to freedom of expression through overly aggressive implementation. And there are massive, massive fines if people don't go along with this as well. Personally, I think these American companies should challenge this and say, well, we're just not going to pay your fines. We uphold American law here. We don't uphold British law. We think the Vice President should push for a pause in the Online Safety Act's further implementation, with a view to reviewing it in full as part of ongoing US-UK trade talks, the FSU said. So they're pushing things further. They want to go further with this Online Safety Act. What's really disgusting about this is that they got it through by saying that it was going to protect children from predators online. And instead of protecting children from predators online, it's being used to silence genuine criticism of government policy. The second point called on Sir Keir to amend the Investigatory Powers Act to protect privacy in Britain. So this is all about acts. It's not about acts that are already there, like the Public Order Act that have been around for some years. It's all about these new things. So the Investigatory Powers Act, the IPA. The campaign group warned the IPA grants UK law enforcement the right to issue legally enforceable demands to US tech companies to facilitate access to encrypted user data in the course of investigating people, even in cases involving non-British citizens. So they're effectively saying that social media companies, American tech companies, they must build a backdoor into their technology to allow the British intelligence to investigate people and see what they're saying. And it just staggers me that people can allow this sort of thing to go on. Before we had any of this tech, I mean, you could talk in a pub, you could talk quietly to somebody, you could talk with guarantee, basically, that the government wasn't listening. And yet now, the government seems to take it for granted that it has to listen to absolutely everything that everybody is saying at all times, which is a massive invasion of privacy. The FSU called on Mr. Vance to push ministers to make sweeping changes to the Act, including blocking back doors to encrypted user data and to scrap technical capability notices, one of which was issued to Apple by the government last year. So the British government are demanding that there are back doors into all of these apps. Of course, if there is a back door there for the intelligence agencies to use, there is a back door there for hackers to use as well. So they're effectively saying that you cannot have security because the government wants to spy on you. This technical capability notice, I didn't know what this is. It's not very obvious from the wording. Apparently, this came in 2016. A TCN forces companies to build, maintain, or develop specific systems that allow for state surveillance, interception of communications, and access to data. They essentially function as master keys, allowing intelligence agencies to read encrypted data without users knowing. Jim Jordan described them as backdoors into encrypted services in his letter to the Home Secretary, deliberate flaws or hidden bypasses built into systems. So the British government, far from what making the internet safer, are actually demanding that the internet be made less secure and that there be backdoors built into all of this technology. I mean, who is Britain to demand that these American companies have to do that? The third point urged the Vice President to pressure Labour to halt state funding to shadowy UK-based organisations that lobby for the suppression of online content. And of course, that would be groups like Hope Not Hate. That would be groups like Tell Mama, Countering Digital Hate. All of these organisations that only exist to call for censorship of people's opinions. This is the British wing of the global censorship industrial complex, and much of it is funded by the UK taxpayer, either directly because its personnel are paid by the state, or indirectly via grants from different departments of state, such as the Foreign and Commonwealth Development Office, or via grants from foundations that are themselves part-funded by departments of state, the document noted. And of course, these organisations are called non-governmental organisations, aren't they? But the fact is, they get all their money from the government and they promote the ideas that the government wants them to promote. But they can then say, oh, well, it's not the government doing this. It's this independent hate monitoring site, which has said that this person's social media needs to be flagged up and banned. The Vice President raised the issue of censorship to then Foreign Secretary David Lammy, just months after being handed the briefing, warning him that Britain risked walking down a very dark path of censoring rather than engaging with a diverse array of problems. The fourth suggestion called on ministers to stop prosecuting people for, quote, hurty words, with the FSU warning Mr. Vance that dozens of Britons were jailed for social media comments made about Axel Rudakabana's Southport murders in July 2024. The FSU outlined the cases of a man jailed for 8 weeks after sharing three, quote-unquote, offensive memes on Facebook, and ex-Royal Marine Jamie Michael, who was prosecuted after sharing a video urging Britons to raise concerns about illegal migration to their elected officials. So they've urged the government to stop prosecuting people for this, but I noticed that they have actually stopped short from asking the government to get rid of that section of the Public Order Act. Now, Restore have said they will get rid of that section of the Public Order Act. They've also said they'll get rid of the Equality Act, which requires every organisation to be promoting diversity, effectively. So the FSU really should have gone a bit further here and said that they should, J.D. Vance should lobby the government to actually change that act as well, and the Equality Act. The document also raised the alarm over plans to draw up a legal definition of Islamophobia, ministers were forced to drop the plans over fears it could threaten free speech after the dossier was handed to Mr. Vance. And that's in the news again today, actually, about this new definition of Islamophobia, which they say which will prevent people from actually criticising Islam. And in actual fact, the European Court of Human Rights have apparently saying that this will hamper free speech. So I think the government are just saying, well, we're not going to enforce it as law, but we're just going to give it as instruction, which is rather like the Anti-Holocaust Commission, or I forget what name it is, the something Holocaust Commission, and their new definition of anti-Semitism, which includes anything that a Jew perceives to be anti-Semitic, which effectively means you need to be prosecuting anybody that the Jews tell you to prosecute. And I think this new definition of Islamophobia is similar. A working group would go on to drum up new wording, replacing the controversial definition, changing the term Islamophobia with anti-Muslim hate. The final point raised by the FSU was the highly controversial issue of non-crime hate incidents in Britain, with a campaign group calling on Mr. Vance to urge the government to scrap this Orwellian practice altogether. And of course, they have scrapped it, but they're still doing it under different wording. They're still doing it, they're just not calling it non-crime hate incidents. The British police should not be harassing people for committing non-crimes when there are so many actual crimes that go unpunished, the briefing noted. NCHIs are doled out when police investigate a report of a hate crime and conclude that no crime has been committed, but are retained on police databases indefinitely and can appear on enhanced background checks. So even if there is no crime at all, if a member of the public thinks that something might have been motivated by hate and they report it to the police, the victim is always right. Accusations of hate crime is always right. So it has, or accusations of something being motivated by hate is always right. So they have to record this, which is effectively saying that judge and is the same as the jury. The person who claims to be the victim can make the decision whether something is racist or is hate. Taking it out of the hands of the judge and taking it out of the hands of a jury, taking it out of the hands of the policeman who might think, well, this is ridiculous. I don't think this was inspired by hate, but they still have to record it. Of course, as I say, they've now stopped doing this, but they've effectively just carried on doing it, but under a different name. They call it something different now instead of non-crime hate incident. In January, Home Secretary Shabnam Mahmood finally announced plans to scrap NCHIs in their current form, insisting police must stop monitoring Britain's perfectly lawful social media activity. The decision followed a number of high-profile cases, including that of Father Ted co-creator Graham Lynham, who was arrested by five armed officers at Heathrow Airport after making a series of gender-critical posts on social media. And bear in mind, he's not even British, he's Irish, and these posts were made in America. And yet he was arrested for this at a British airport, which essentially says that any American could be arrested for this sort of thing at a British airport. And this wasn't even a crime, this wasn't a hate crime, it was one of these non-crime hate incidents. And yet he was still arrested by five armed officers at Heathrow Airport. So the state of free speech in Britain is definitely not good, and the majority of the British public think that it is getting worse. The Free Speech Union is a bit of a limited hangout. For instance, they don't talk about World War II revisionism and the historians that have been jailed. But at least we do have them, and at least they are drawing J.D. Vance's attention to this sort of thing. And I guess we can also say that America has actually sanctioned some of these organisations, the people responsible for them, like the Centre for Countering Digital Hate. They have actually been sanctioned in the same way that people from Russia end up being sanctioned. So I would hope that the American government would do more about this. Perhaps Andy Burnham might say something about it. I have been quite surprised by some of the things that he has said, although he doesn't appear to be that intelligent. I saw him having some difficulty with reading aloud a speech the other day, which doesn't really give me much faith in him. But again, he has said that he's not going to stop jury trials. which is a good thing. So perhaps he might say something about this. Perhaps he might stop this new protest law coming in, which says that you can only protest about something once. Perhaps he might say something about free speech, especially as it's Liberty, which are telling the government this left-wing organisation. And it's certainly good news that the FSU handed this dossier to JD Vance, and hopefully they'll hand another one to Andy Burnham the next time Andy Burnham travels to America. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.